Welcome, henchmen, to another discussion and informative packed episode of Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man. Here on the podcast, we take two of your favorite characters from fiction, break down a tale of the tape to discuss their physical abilities and skills before focusing on important combat situations in a crossover battle. In the end, the hosts individually decide who wins based on the strongest evidence presented. As always, I'm your host, JVD, and conspicuous by his absence is the Professor Evan the Great, who on his way here to record this very episode just happened to hit John Wick's puppy on the mean streets of Gotham. Fearing for his life from not only Baba Yaga and the Dark Knight Detective, I've had a call on some help, so I've called on a fellow member of the Villains Demand, the host of the Phantom Fusion podcast, a man who has not been on in quite a long time, my good friend, Hawk the Horrible. Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, it's I wasn't in for any of the last season, so yeah, it's been quite a while.
Well, the last season had a lot of down time due to a lot of stuff going on between me and the professor, but it is good to have you back on, and Phantom Fusion has come back from their hiatus here in the last couple weeks.
It has. It's been a long time coming. Me and the Ghost have talked about it. You know, the more we just kind of sat and talked about it, the more we realized that we kind of miss podcasting. So we decided to come back for round two.
So what are you guys doing over there this time around?
Well, what we've decided is, instead of just like focusing on a couple things, we're going to tackle everything nerd culture or pop culture nerd related. So in the last episode, we have did a breakdown of and talked more about the Jurassic World Dominion trailer and about Jurassic Park in general and how much we've enjoyed it through like adulthood and growing up with it as kids, and a couple fun things of like who we would hire if we had our own park.
Interesting. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can check out the Villainous Man on all their social media accounts over on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can find the links that are direct you where to subscribe to those episodes at. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get the ball rolling here on this episode with Evan being in Gotham and running over a puppy. Today, we are talking Batman from Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy.
Why bats, Master Wayne?
Bats frighten me. Time my enemies shared my dread.
Versus one of Evan's favorite characters in all of cinema, the Baba Yaga himself, John Wick.
We call him Baba Yaga. The boogeyman? Well, John wasn't exactly the boogeyman. He was the one you sent to kill the fucking boogeyman.
Hawk, what's your opinion of this matchup for today?
You know, it's funny because those are two of my favorite trilogies anyway. And this is like the ultimate Hitman versus the Dark Knight. So this is a pretty... this is a decisive match. I think fans are going to be back and forth on how this goes.
Very, very true. And as Hawk just mentioned, as the trilogies, today, The Batman comes out, the newest installment for the DCEU. Quite tired of Batman. I'm tired of having different Batman all the time. It's almost as bad as Spider-Man. But the movie looks really good. As for John Wick, we are expecting John Wick 4 sometime this year in 2022, so that was the reason to bring these two characters together. So, before we continue, I must warn you, we do talk about the media these characters are involved in, so there will be spoilers. You have been warned. Also, as we discuss these fights and the battlegrounds and how we think things play out, remember, they're just our opinions. Do not take them as fact. But if you want to take them as fact, do so at your own risk, and we appreciate it. So as for fights with these guys, obviously John Wick is new to Crossover Collision. We dipped a little last year into the realm of movies, and this year we're going to pick it up. We opened up this year with MCU Captain America versus Fox Studios Wolverine, and this is the second movie battle we're going to do. As for Batman, if you're into comics, we have Batman fights everywhere. I mean, he's Batman. People love Batman. He's fought Captain America twice. He's fought him in the original format for Crossover Collision and the second format for Crossover Collision. Spoiler alert, we're going to the second rendition of Crossover Collision for this matchup today. We are talking Battlegrounds because Hawk has recently been in my ass about bringing him back. So Hawk comes back to the show. He gets the fill-in. We're doing Battlegrounds. Does that make you happy?
Oh, my God. I love it. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, let's just hope you don't disappoint.
Also, I'm not horrible.
Also, Batman has fought Wolverine, he's fought Mysterio, and he's ran the Marvel Gauntlet with our friends Regular Scott and Ozzie Killmonger over on Taken Eve for Marvel vs. DC. So tons of Batman comic book based fights. This is the first time we're using a Batman from the movie. So, Hawk, anything you want to point out, get out of your system before we move on to the rules of Crossover Collision?
No, not really. I'm just excited to be back. It's been a long time coming.
All right. Well, please read us the rules of the Battleground version of Crossover Collision.
Get ready to kick butt.
All right. Rule number one, the combatants will battle in three separate encounters, each in a different randomly chosen battleground. Each battle is a chance encounter to eliminate prep time that begins at 100 feet apart. Rule two. During the battles, neither combatant can leave the specified battleground, regardless if the combatant has the means to do so. Our eight battlegrounds are a jungle, city street, a salvage yard, the rooftop of a 10-story building, a medieval water cistern, a warehouse, a cargo ship in the middle of the bay, and finally, a chemical plant. Three. Only standard feats, powers, equipment, scene, and the chosen medium for the combats can be referenced. No plot-induced stupidity. Plot armor or MacGuffins are allowed. Therefore, every reference brought up needs to be within reasonability and common throughout the combatant's history. Number four, all combatants must be discussed based on how they are depicted in the chosen mediums, such as morales, how they actually fight in combat. Five, all crossover collisions can be won by death, KO, or incapacitation. Specific battlegrounds have certain rules that allow victory that combatants are not aware of during a fight. A battleground cannot be won via battlefield removal, mind control, outside interference, or crazy powers such as reality warping or control over time. 6. Victory for a crossover collision will be determined by our point system.
Now, there's a point system we developed, and we scored all fights based on points. You've kind of got a taste of that here in the past with if we had a tie in Season 3. Now, the point system for our battlegrounds are completely different, and Mr. Horrible here is going to break it down for you.
All right, the point system. Each battleground is worth 4 points. The host will individually determine how those points are distributed between the combatants based on the discussion between them and how strongly or poorly they individually think certain situations may favor combatants. A combatant who dominates the battleground gains 4 points while their opponent receives none. If a combatant is heavily favored but has the possibility of losing, they receive 3 points. Their opponent receives one for having a small chance of winning the battleground. The points are split at 2 apiece between the combatants if they both have a solid chance of winning the battleground. At the end of 3 battleground discussions, the host will tally up their individual scores before combining them to declare a winner for a crossover collision. In the event of a tie, another battleground will be randomly selected per the rules and discussed in the attempt to declare a winner.
So if you're wondering how would we randomly determine battlegrounds, as everybody knows, me and Evan the Great are huge tabletop RPG players, and we randomly roll this D8 dice to determine what battleground's chosen. The number comes back up on the dice between Battleground 2 or 3. We just literally re-roll the die until one of the numbers we need shows up. And basically, the point of this is to not show favoritism to either of the combatants. So let's go ahead and break down the powers and abilities of Batman and John Wick. And by the way, Hawk, you did a really good job. I'm very proud of you. Give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. I don't see how Evan does that so flawlessly.
Well, Evan doesn't do that anymore. The rule, everything's changed to three rules. No battlegrounds. But anyways, continuing on. The powers and abilities of Batman. Obviously, he has a genius level intellect. He's a master combatant and a master tactician. Now, for the equipment, that's what Batman's known for. But the thing is, in the Dark Knight trilogy, we have three films. So you don't see a lot of the normal equipment over and over and over. So what we did is basically, if there was any scene that had two of the same weapon in it between the movies, in two movies, or a reference like, hey, this makes that, we allowed it. So let's talk about the cowl and the body armor. It's an electrical booby trap. You try to take it off, and you do get electrocuted. Obviously, we're going with the Dark Knight upgraded body armor, which is hardened Kevlar plates over titanium-dipped tri-weave fibers. It allows for flexibility, agility, and speed. It also has reinforced joints. It also hides his heat signature. In Batman Begins, he sprays his original suit with a black latex that hides the heat signature. It's fair to say this upgraded suit in The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises has the same type of latex. They also have serrated blades on the gauntlets. They're retractable and can be launched as projectiles. Fun fact, Hawk, do you know firing those projectiles or using them always leads to Batman's victory in all three of the films?
Huh. I did not know that.
Yep, he uses it to break Ra's al Ghul's sword, kind of gives him the advantage. He uses them to shoot Joker in the face, that lets him knock Joker off the building. And he uses them to disable Bane's, I guess his pumps, his oxygen, whatever it is. And it leads to him defeating Bane.
Huh.
Fun fact. His cape is made of memory cloth with an electrical current. Your molecules are rigid, allowing Batman to glide as the cape stiffens. He carries a utility belt, which has a ton of batarangs on it. Another fun fact, you know he really only uses batarangs in the very first film? We see them in the other tube. He hardly ever uses them. Every film is focused on a main weapon.
Hmm.
But because we do see him, we're allowing him. And it's kind of a typical Batman thing. He also carries smoke pellets. He only uses these in the third movie. But we see reference to making them with the League of Six Shadows in the first movie.
That is true. Also,
Batman is known for his gas-powered grapple gun. It has a high-powered reel to help carry him or his opponents away. It can be anchored to his utility belt by a magnet, and it can be used to ensnare enemies. He also carries many mines or explosives, and he also has the Pumatic Mangler. Hawk, do you know what the Pumatic Mangler is?
Negative.
Negative. All right. You're going to know what it is as soon as I tell you. We did see it in Batman Begins, but it was never used. It's used in the beginning of The Dark Knight when he's taking on Scarecrow's henchman and he grabs the barrel of the gun and bends it. That's what's on his hand, the Pumatic Mangler. Huh. There is you can actually look this thing up, and basically it's a heavy-duty hydraulic he puts on his hand. And it's also what he uses to when he jumps down on top of the van or when he's riding on the van, I should say. It's what he uses to actually cut open the van. So he does have access to that. Any questions around the Dark Knight trilogy Batman?
Okay, I found it already. Wow, that actually is...
Yeah, it looks neat, don't it?
That's pretty nice looking.
Mm. Any questions?
Nope.
What's your interest in it, Mr. Wayne? I want to borrow it for spelunking. Spelunking? Yeah, you know, cave diving. You're expecting to run into much gunfire in these caves.
Some notable gadgets that we aren't using because I know people are going to bring it up. The EMP blaster rifle, which was really big in the third film. The sticky bomb launcher, which was really popular in the second film. Also, that had the sonar vision, which Lucius Fox destroyed at the end of Dark Knight. And then we had the sonic bat emitter, which was only used in the first film. So just in case people were wondering why we didn't bring those up, they were only used once.
So what about his back brace? Does he have that?
Oh, no. This is like Batman at his peak. We're not using bum Batman and the Dark Knight Begins. Even though he does have a structured braces in with like within his suit that actually allows him to perform at peak condition in that last movie. Otherwise, he would have never took on Bane.
Yeah, because he has the back braces, and then he has like the knee braces too.
But no, we're talking basically Batman from the Dark Knight, not the Dark Knight Returns.
Okay, gotcha.
Or Rises, good. Whatever it is. Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to John Wick. Powers and abilities. Obviously, like Batman, he's a master, combatant, and tactician. So for his equipment, we kind of went with the same thing. And it's John Wick is very easy to nail down. You're going to see him using pistols, shotguns, and basically automatic rifles. Now, it's a matter of which ones they are. So I went over a bunch of the equipment. It was really fun doing this, because you got to watch these experts talk about all the weapons John Wick uses. But he's basically known for the Heckler & Koch P30L. He carries two of those. His main Glock use is a 26. He carries two of those as well. He has the Benelli 4M Super 90 shotgun. It is fitted with a fixed stock and customizable by TTI. So I really went in depth with the details of these guns because they were right in front of me, and I thought it was really cool when I looked some of this stuff up. He carries the TTI SIG Saucer PMX Carbine Assault Rifle. And these parts, we call that like an SKS. Just not as high-powered. I have one of these. But anyways, it has a Trilogicon. I'm not sure how to pronounce that word. MRO sight. It has a Streamlight TLR8 weapon light and laser module. It has a TTI plus 11 base pad. It has a BCM adjustable stock. He also wears a bulletproof vest. And on top of that, he wears a bulletproof suit. Do you know those people actually make those now because of this movie?
Well, just think of the money they can make from it. I mean, John Wick sparked a gun owner revolution, like how cool it was, and now they want the same things. So gun sales and the accessories for it have gone through the roof.
But this suit is awesome. I looked them up, like high-tier designers will make these suits for you, and I think the cheapest one I seen was like $5,000, and I seen one that was up to like $12,000. And they look sharp as shit.
I mean, if you've got that kind of coin, go for it. Dress for success.
I mean, he's a top-tier assassin. Of course he's got that coin. To me, it makes Deathstroke jealous. He sees those and he's like, I have to have some of those. Just because. The bulletproof suit, I had to have an explanation of how it works. It's lined with silicone carbine disc, ceramic matrices, and it's accompanied by laminates, which basically it's got layers of this shit. It also has zero penetration from small caliber bullets, but it's quite painful because you still feel every impact. And he also carries a Microtech Cypher OTF knife that he basically, the Microtech is his brand of knife through all the movies, and he carries a different version of their knives through everything. Very popular on the website. I looked about how like sharp they are, how it's almost impossible to dull them. It's pretty crazy.
John Wick is a man of focus, commitment, and sheer fucking will. He once killed three men in a bar.
A pencil. I know, I've heard the story, sir.
With a fucking pencil! Who the fuck can do that? Well, I can assure you that the stories you hear about this man, if nothing else, has been watered down.
Any questions about John Wick?
I want to see him in a Winter Soldier and Conan in a knife fight.
What about Crocodile Dundee? Because this is a knife.
True. He's got the fan vote. But the other three, especially with Conan, I think could be like a really interesting knife fight.
I don't think Conan needs a knife fight to beat either one of them. But anyways, let's move on to the tell the tape between John Wick and Batman.
The battle for survival begins.
Hawk, lead us off. Who do you think has the advantage in strength?
I'm going to say Batman, because through the movie, you've seen more strength-based feats. But I'd say it's just by a little bit, because some of the martial arts maneuvers that John Wick does, it takes a lot of strength to do some of those. So I'm going to say Batman just by a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because Batman is more of a strength-based character than John Wick, you know, by far. And we do know that even though we're not using the braces and whatnot that helped him regain his strength that he once had, we do know that he is still, you know, pretty strong. So yes, I do agree with you that Batman does have the advantage in strength. Durability, who do you think has the advantage there?
I'm going to go John Wick, because you see him go through way more damage and get up and still keep fighting multiple people. He gets hit by a car and they try to rush him and he still picks them apart one by one.
You know, I'm going to agree with you, especially outside their suits. I think John Wick blows Christian Bale's Batman out of the water. And that's because he has sheer unstoppable willpower and determination. Like, that is a big factor in his durability. Like, if Bane dislocated his spine, he would get up and still fight Bane.
And find a pencil.
And find a pencil. Yeah, he would find a pencil. You're completely right. Right. And even though Batman has this really high tech armor, John Wick's armor really is better because it's completely bulletproof. And we know that Batman's does have its weak points.
And they talk about that in the movie when Lucius is explaining the military suit.
Yeah.
Quotations.
Mm-hmm.
To him when he's going to use it for base jumping or spelunking.
Yes, you're completely right. Let's talk about speed. Who has the advantage, Batman or John Wick?
Man, this is tough. They both show a lot of great speed feats. I lean more towards Wick because I think he's a little lighter. And like watching him, his hand-to-hand combat speed seems a little more proficient and able to move faster.
See, here's the thing. Batman's suit allows for speed and flexibility, too. So I don't know if I would say that John Wick is faster. I will say that he relies on his speed more than Batman does, though. And that's why I'll give him the advantage. Batman is more methodical than, you know, in his approach to a fight and how he fights than what John Wick is. Here's the interesting one. Melee. Who do you think has the advantage in melee?
I not even by a little bit, I entirely favor John Wick in melee. I think the training that he went through is more defined, and watching him fight, you can pick out multiple different fighting styles and showing techniques, and that actually between jiu-jitsu, Russian sambo, Greco-Roman wrestling, and judo, he shows proficiency and different fighting styles to set up throws and different breaks to do it. With Batman Begins The Dark Knight, he basically throws himself into the criminal element to learn how it is, how it thinks, how it operates. So he taught himself how to fight, and then the League of Shadows brought that further. But a lot of it, what seemed like through that first movie with Batman Begins, a lot of it feels like it's ninjutsu and, I guess, a ninja aspect. Which, don't get me wrong, Batman is very talented with a katana, even though he would barely use it. I really feel that in a hand-to-hand fight, I think John Wick has a very, very big advantage.
See, this is the thing. I'm very indifferent on who has the advantage here, because I feel that these guys are trained enough. Like, John Wick is trained the way he fights in melee. His gun fu is very useful against a guy like Batman, but Batman is trained in the art of disarming his opponents. And we see that a lot. So I'm going to say that neither one of them have an advantage at all in melee. Just my opinion, but I don't think either one of them have an advantage there. Okay, let's talk about ranged combat. I'm pretty sure this fairly easily goes to John Wick.
I don't know. Batman is very talented at throwing batarangs from a mile out and still hit his target. Entirely joking. Entirely John Wick.
Okay, so as for weaknesses, Batman, his armor does not protect from gunshots and knives between the plating. We've kind of alluded to that earlier. Also, he suffers from depression from dead parents. John Wick's weakness is far greater than Batman's. It's puppies. Not a factor in this fight, but it is puppies. All right, Hawk, now for the new part here on season 4.
Well, hold up. I actually have a question, though, about that. So isn't that also Jerry the King Lawler's biggest weakness? Puppies?
You win the Nose Prize. That was pretty good.
I do what I can.
That was pretty awesome. I love you for that so much. Okay, so new to season 4 is motivation / plot for this crossover collision. Hawk, being the guest here on the show, I'm going to let you go first. Why do you think John Wick and Batman would come to blows?
The high table has given John an out, and he has to take down the Batman. Or Batman ran over his dog while chasing down the Joker.
All right, you kind of stole mine there at the end. So here is what I'm going to say. The Joker is moving in on all these mobsters that have employed John Wick in the past and whatnot. So realizing how dangerous Joker is based on what he's done to Gotham, they hire John Wick to kill the Joker. Obviously, this gets Batman involved, because so what is the one thing Batman is not going to do? Let somebody kill anybody in his rogues gallery, because that is his number one rule. And otherwise, you know, John Wick would just come in and clean Gotham. So that is my motivation for this fight. John Wick has been hired by the mobs of New York to kill the Joker, and Batman has got himself involved because he has a hardcore rule about not killing, even if it's his greatest enemy. Therefore, that's why I think these two collide.
I'd rather save one life that will murder 1,000, because it's the first right thing to do.
I just had an I didn't have an argument with a guy. He was talking about Batman. I'm like, about how people, he thinks it's bogus. People, Batman needs prep time to beat everybody, and he thinks it's bogus. People won't understand that, you know, how awesome he is with prep time, and you know, it's a joke on a powerful character if they get beat. I'm like, Right, but yet he can't, you know, save Gotham from a guy with an umbrella. So, I rest my case. Anyways, we're going to play you a promo from Hawk the Horrible's returning podcast, Fandom Fusion. You've kind of got an idea of what these guys do on their podcast. So if you can, please subscribe. Go follow Hawk over on Twitter. And when we get back, we're going to discuss how a fight plays out between Christopher Nolan Batman and John Wick through three of our classic battlegrounds.
I'm Hawk the Horrible.
And I'm the Grumpy Ghost.
And we are the Fandom Fusion Podcast. If you like nerdiness galore, comic books, video games, randomness, and sci-fi, then we're the podcast for you.
You can listen to Fandom Fusion.
Whoa. I don't want to be inside your dirty mind. Just tell them where to find us at.
Aww. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and thevillainsdemand.com.
And welcome back to Crossover Collision, brought to you by The Villains of the Man, with myself, JVD, and my fellow partner in crime, Hawk the Horrible. Today, we're bringing back those battlegrounds. If you're curious about battlegrounds and you want to hear some older episodes, you can scroll through your podcasting feed for Crossover Collision and go all the way down to episode 112. That was the very last episode, 112, 111. It's right there at the end of the tournament for 2020. And you can just backtrack, and you'll see all the episodes that we've done for Battleground. So 112 episodes with Battleground. A lot of that there. A lot of good times. So, Mr. Horrible, I'm going to go ahead and roll out our first Battleground on this lovely D8 dice right here. And I'm going to read off the Battleground, and I'm going to let you start first between Batman and John Wick. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Number one is the jungle. Number two is the city streets. Number three is a savage land. About said salvage. Yeah, I did say savage land. Shit. Number three is a salvage yard. Oh, yeah. Number four is the rooftops of a city block. Number five is the medieval water cistern. Number six is a warehouse. Number seven is a cargo ship. And finally, number eight is a chemical plant. So, here we go.
Who will survive?
Engage!
Number three is the salvage yard. I do have to roll if this fight takes place in day or night, because salvage yards are outside environments. I rolled another three, apparently. That's my lucky number. So, this fight takes place in the daytime. Bad for Batman. So, the battleground is a 100-foot long and wide salvage yard. Combatants cannot leave the confines of the battleground. Stacks of junk cars are set side by side in rows, with some being stacked up to five cars high. 100 foot to the right of the starting area is a large chop shop. Beside it is a large crane holding up an industrial magnet 50 foot above the ground. So there's you a little description, a little theater of the mind before we get started. And Hawk, dive into this battleground between Batman and John Wick in the salvage yard during daylight hours.
Okay, so Batman does not have any outside help, so there's no Lucius or Alfred, correct?
You know the rules.
All right, so he has no, there is, for once we have Batman, he has no one on comms. He's by himself, and I think as soon as they see each other, John Wick's going to open fire. Batman is going to go for stealth. And at the point, I think either when either one of these disappear, I think it's bad news, because they are both masters of stealth. And I think when this goes to a... I think eventually it goes to a hand-to-hand fight, because Batman will find a way to disarm John. And I don't really think anyone has a direct advantage as far as kind of looking at a fight. I think John might be a little more trained as far as like a martial arts
as multiple styles, looking at what we've seen from the movies. However, Batman is no slouch, and I think Batman can still handle his own. I don't think Battlegrounds really play into it much into an advantage. I don't think the magnet plays a big factor. I'm going to have to take a little more time to think about this.
So, unlike you, I think in the beginning of this fight that John Wick has a big advantage and Batman has a huge disadvantage. For one, it's daytime. That really plays against Batman's stealth with using shadows and dim light. But here's the thing. 100 foot apart, John Wick has a heavy advantage with his assault rifle. Now, these assault rifles here, the sights on them are pretty awesome. So this Trigicon MRO sight, I was looking up some stuff on these sights, and they're wide. So you don't have to be so close to the scope to have accuracy. And that's why you see that basically John Wick on the pool is like headshotting people, because the wideness of the scope, just literally he could just pull it up and look. And he can already put crosshairs on people extremely fast. So with his speed, he's going to shoot at Batman. Hitting him, who knows? But here's one thing that helps John Wick with this. He gets a good look at Batman's armor, and he's going to understand there's armor plating. That's going to let John Wick know, hey, I really have to pick and choose where I shoot this guy when I get a chance. Because what's going to happen, he's going to pull up, pop, 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 pop. Batman takes off running. It's his only option because he's going to have to get cover. To me, John Wick has to chase Batman. I think going into any type of stealth can hurt him, because Batman is very good at appearing beside you and disappearing in front of you as soon as you look away. And you brought it up, Hawk. Yeah, both these guys are masters of stealth. But Batman is a master of ghosting people. Like, he just, boom, there. Extremely quiet, and you don't hear him. So in a junkyard, when you have all these cars stacked up and all this junk laying around, and when you're playing the stealth game, you let Batman play that stealth game, too. Now, here's the big difference between these guys. John Wick, his guns will reflect light in the daylight. Batman really doesn't have anything that's going to reflect off of daylight because he has a cowl to cover everything. So, yeah, I think the stealth advantage, if that plays out, helps Batman. But if John Wick can get a bead on him and keep a follow on him with this heavy range advantage, John Wick can camp, for to use a gamer term, and wait on Batman to come to him. Because once he sees where Batman is, he could pick a spot in the complete open where there's only one way to get to him, and that's through, like, basically a kill box and set Batman up. And that really, really hurts Batman. Now, Batman also loses the advantage of an ambush from above. That's Batman's tactics. In the night, it might be a different story, because he can hide more on perches like stacks of cars, or he can climb the crane on this magnet, you know. So he, just being in the daytime hurts Batman, and that's the reason we randomly roll these out, is because it's a completely random fight with no prep time and no outside help, and this is the disadvantage Batman would face in the daytime. And this is one thing I always tell people. People, every time it's like, who's a better hero, Spider-Man or Batman? Well, Spider-Man. Why Spider-Man? Spider-Man fights at all hours of the day. He's open 24/7. Batman only does work at night. If you don't believe me, Nolan's Batman only fought in the daytime one time, and that was at the end of The Dark Knight Rises. Other than that, all Batman's antics take place at night. So, as I said, there's a lot of issues for both guys, and it all plays out in the beginning of this fight. And that, to me, determines who's going to wind up winning this battleground. Do you have anything you want to add before we move on?
I will say this. Watching John Wick 3, in the glass room fight when he's fighting. I can't think of.
He's fighting Zero. Yes, he does the ghost thing.
He does the ghost thing, you're showing that he still has it, even though he's old. Because they're sitting there like, I don't know. Like, does he still have it? Like, he looks old. He looks rusty.
Well, Zero. Well, for back up here. He fights the Shinobi before that, the twins, not counting the fight all the way that leads up to them two. And because what happens is Zero ghosts him first.
Right.
And then Wick does it to him twice.
Showing that, you know, he is. Oh, these are both older guys, but they still have it. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, they're not spring chickens, but they weren't born last night either.
But that's kind of the Batman's thing in The Dark Knight Rises. He's not a spring chicken anymore, and he proves that he still has it.
Right.
A lot of similarities there.
Yes, and one of the neat things is they're both really knowledgeable of how it works and how assassins work. So I think there's going to be a lot of them trying to play chess with each other and trying to set each other up. Because Batman has fought assassins before. He knows how they operate and how they work. And Wick constantly fights assassins through three movies. And Batman was trained by assassins. He uses assassin techniques, only they're non-lethal. So,
very good points. The chess match describes this perfectly. All right.
I would say, for one thing, if we were using the comic version of Batman, I think this would play out a lot differently, but
you've got to base it on the Nolan stuff.
Yeah, we're using the Nolan, I guess, what happened in the Nolan trilogy, so it allows us to set up a different picture and a different version of Batman.
All right. You ready to move on?
I am. All right, let's roll ahead and roll out this second battleground. All right, we got a 5, the medieval water cistern. The battleground is 500 feet long and wide. Lined in rows are 20-foot tall columns with 10 feet of space between them. 4 feet of water floods the entire area, which is lit by function or flickering scattered through the battleground.
That is a edit on my part. It should say lights. So, he was referencing light. So, the idea of this cistern, if you've never been over to Europe in the medieval times, all the cities had water cisterns. It was caverns that ran underneath, or catacombs that ran underneath all the cities that were basically flooded with water for the city to waste or use however they need be. And you can go travel these things and see them now. They're all basically museums. So, if you want a good idea of what some of these look like, preferably the one that we're using, is think the original Mortal Kombat movie with a fight in the forest between Scorpion and Johnny Cage. All the trees are columns, the same type of row and setup, except for they reach to the ceiling of this cavern, and it's all flooded with 4 foot of water to give you the theater of the mind. So I'm guessing I'm taking the reins here on this one. All right. So unlike the salvage yard, this one gets tricky because the water is a dead giveaway for both of these guys if they're moving fast. And the thing is, John Wick's very quick on the draw, as I mentioned in the salvage yard. But the thing here is when Batman can move away from him, you have a lot of dim light and a lot of darkness down to this water cistern, and Batman is smart enough to pick and choose where he's going to stand at. Now, Batman's no fool. I'm sure he knows how to move stealthily through water. And I'm sure that John Wick does too, but here's the thing. Batman is completely covered in pitch black armor. So Batman can take his time, keep a safe distance from Wick and his weapons. And he can do the famous bat trick of, I'm going to take out the lights. Batarang here, batarang there. Batman also has the deception with smoke pellets here. These are very, very, very helpful because they can be used to distract. Batman throws them, smoke pellets go over there. It's a good way to distract John Wick and move. And when he gets in range, he can always throw a batarang, disarm John Wick if he can. The only bad thing about disarming John Wick is that Batman will be very slowed to get to John Wick due to water. Water, anybody who's ran through water that's at least waist deep know that it's extremely difficult. But he has the grappling gun. It's a dead giveaway to where he's coming. You have 20-foot tall columns here, so he doesn't have a whole lot of room to use a grappling gun. Also, we know how quick John Wick is on the draw. John Wick, man, all he's got to do is wait for Batman's right time, and he pulls out that shotgun. It uses slugs. Do you think that Batman's armor, Hawk, is going to stop a slug?
It'll stop a couple, depending on where it's hit.
So, okay, think about it. Batman comes swinging in at you feet first. You think the bottom of them boots are going to stop a slug?
Man, I don't know. That's tough.
So you have that predicament. Now let's just say Batman gets up to him. Batman, not only does he have to deal with a shotgun, he also has to deal with two different sets of twin handguns. And so that's where this fight would get fun at, is the gunfu versus the Batman's ability to disarm people, because we do know that he has a pneumatic mangler, which during this cat and mouse game in these catacombs, he's got a really good chance to wield this thing. And when he gets close, he bends a shotgun barrel. He can bend a rifle barrel. I don't think bending the barrels of any type of handguns is very good for him. And then you have the melee fight. And here's the interesting, I think, that's good, cool about the melee fight is Batman disarms. You got to watch how you disarm John Wick. You know why? Because he's a master of picking up the weapons around him, if he can keep a mind of where they're at. So, and here is the big thing about gunfu against Batman. Batman can disarm. John Wick pulls a weapon, he can disarm. Batman, and you brought this up, has never really fought anybody like John Wick in the Nolan trilogy. John Wick has fought plenty of assassins that probably fight like Batman. Also, he has battled guys like Batman. If you look at the high table soldiers with their body armor, which was upgraded more than John Wick's, John Wick realized that he had to basically stagger these guys to get close enough to either shoot them underneath their helmets in the chin or in the back of the neck, and he had to look for weak spots. Batman doesn't wear a helmet, Hawk, so what's the biggest opening on his cowl?
The mouth.
You don't think John Wick wouldn't put a bullet in his face?
Without question.
So, that's where things get interesting. It's a matter of, can Batman disarm him quick enough in that situation to basically not get shot in the face? And then you have the question of, how quickly can Batman get to John Wick through 4 feet of water at a 100-foot distance? And I'm just going to quit talking and let you get something in here.
Oh, no, you're fine. I always love listening to you talk because you always bring up such good points.
Well, it's your turn now.
Well, one thing I did consider while listening is that going on about how John could just pick up weapons. I think the problem is it's 4 foot of water. So when something usually hits water, it doesn't float straight down. It'll drift a little, or depending on the movement, could shift it. So if it gets in the water, the weapon could pretty much be gone.
That's a good point.
But also with the water, That's 4 foot, so that's roughly, I'd say Batman and John Wick are roughly close to 6 foot. So using that 4 foot of water, they could easily use that to disappear. Because you always see someone disappear into the water and slowly kind of like creep out Rambo style behind somebody. And Batman would do that. So would John. Now, John is, I'd say a little bit, he would stick out a little more, but Batman has an all black suit. They're both trained in stealth. John has the range advantage. And like you brought up with the Mangler, Batman could use that to disarm him. Now, I wonder who is fought more in an area like that. I would say John, because he was an assassin. He's been all over the world. The High Table is in Europe. And then when you see he goes to Europe to fulfill his marker, he is running through the catacombs. That's something he is a little more well adjusted to and knows how the area works. And not that Batman doesn't know how to fight in that type of area, but that is something more accustomed that John would be used to. Now, Batman can still use that to his advantage because he can still use the grapnel gun to either try to use that to pull one of John's guns away from him or to pull himself out of the water, because as soon as someone tries to barrel through the water, it's a dead giveaway. I think this eventually will come down to a hand-to-hand fight, and eventually, I think this is one of those where I think Batman's gauntlets can really help him, and I think he could use those in case John tries to use the knife. Batman has those, and he can use that to help block a knife strike and use that to take him down. Now, one of my questions is, do you think that John will try to use Batman's cape against him?
Oh, like over his head hockey style, in a way?
Bingo.
In this battleground, I'm going to say no. For the particular reason that most likely Batman will probably use that as some type of diversion to get to John Wick.
Now, I'll say this one thing I really don't think, as far as equipment, is even used. I don't think the booby-trapped helmet or the cowl. Nah,
none of that's going to come into play. I don't think in here.
John really cares who's behind the mask. He's just another target.
Yeah. Well, he is. And here's something else that works really well in this battleground. Is Batman will not use these mini mines, which we know they're big enough to like blow a hole in a prison door, blow a hole in like a small chunk of concrete out. Those work really well to throw in at John Wick to blow water up in his face, some type of diversion. It's what a lot of Batman's gadgetry is really good for in this battleground. Kind of like where I was mentioned in the salvage yard, where, you know, he's going to have a lot of issues moving towards John Wick because there's daylight and John Wick has that opportunity to hide behind stuff like Batman does. Now, they can do that here with columns, in my opinion, or, you know, do the marine thing in the water, you know, their nose is just above water and whatnot. They can do that as well, which favors John Wick due to a scope, because these scopes, they have like 6 illumination settings, and basically they give you night vision. So it's pretty awesome. Watched a whole video on that too. So to me, that's Batman's thing. He has to get close, and he has a lot of gadgetry that helps him get close. It's just a matter of not being shot before it gets there.
Well, and also with this 4 feet of water, it's also a hindrance to both of their fighting styles. So they both will use kicks, and that's going to make it a lot harder. Especially now with John using a lot of judo throws.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has to use the resistance of the water to be able to throw Batman around. And with Batman having his body weight, plus you have the resistance of the cape as well, it's going to make it a lot harder to throw, and let alone trying to throw kicks or anything like that. It's definitely a hindrance more than anything.
Yeah, it really wreaks havoc on John Wick's gun-fu if it comes to that. Yeah, that's an excellent point.
This is definitely, for him, it's definitely more of a stand-up fight and trying to keep this at range.
Yes. I don't have anything else to give for this battleground. You, anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right, well then we'll go ahead and we'll move on to our third and final battleground between these two. As I roll a D8, we cannot roll a 3 or a 5. Those require rerolls, which we did not get one. We are on a 4, the rooftops of a city block. Now, this battleground requires day or night, so high for day, or low for day, high for night. This battleground is at nighttime. So for the rooftops of a city block, think Predator 2 with Harrigan and the Predator on top of the apartment building. Each rooftop varies in length and width, but no two buildings are the same height, allowing for uneven elevations in the battleground. There are water tanks, large air units, and ductwork spread across the battlegrounds. Those who can fly must remain within 100 feet of the battleground, which is not an issue with these two. Being knocked off the building with no means of getting back to the roof results in a loss. So now we have a battleground who's basically allows a ring out, which is a very important thing when it comes to these fights. So Hawk, it's a final battleground. You get to go first. Give me what you got.
So basically, Batman has a very big advantage. He has a grapnel gun, so would he be able to use that to get back up the building?
Yeah, I mean, we see him do it all the time if John Wick can knock him off.
Yeah, because Batman is fast enough. I mean, he's got great hand speed that he could easily pull it out and fire it back up the building. And let alone, if John thinks he throws him off, he's not going to even consider him coming back up the building unless it happens again.
Okay, here's an interesting question with that. Okay, in the event if John Wick can throw him off or not, I'm not saying that he can, I'm not saying that it would happen, because honestly, in my opinion, I don't think it does happen. But since you're bringing it up, Batman gets thrown off the roof. We hear the grapple gun. Got a very distinct sound. Do you think John Wick would know what that is? Or do you think it's something that he would just almost not give a second thought to?
I don't think he would give a second thought to it. And also, this is a city block. So I think you might be able to hide it within the noise of the city.
That's very true.
Because, you know, this is a city block. You know, I've been to big cities before, and, like, it's loud. And it's not one of those loud where it's just loud on the bottom. And you even hear it on the top. And he doesn't know what the sound is. He might just think it's you're on top of buildings. You just hear sounds. You don't know what it is. You could be a rat through the pipes making noise. It could be anything.
And something like this, he's not used to either.
Right.
Not really his environment.
Yeah. So I don't think he would pay mind to it, which could give Batman an advantage. Also, it's nighttime. This is Batman's wheelhouse. Yes, John has the range advantage, but this is I'd say it's clustered, as in there's lots of breakpoints where Batman or John could easily break the line of sight and to have a self moment. Now, if let's just say John throws him off, doesn't think much of it, he's kind of walking back, Batman could easily go back up and catch him from a back angle where he wouldn't think nothing about it. This could easily be a blindside from a different angle that John doesn't see coming. But also at the same point, John is fully loaded. He's got four handguns. He's got a knife. He's got a shotgun. He's got an automatic rifle with a scope that can allow him to see virtually through, like, night vision. So this could really go either way, but I'm not really sure on this. I'm going to have to think a little more and see what you bring to the table.
All right. So as you brought up, obviously, the rooftops at night are Batman's wheelhouse. So, you know, in most people's minds, you know, John Wick is defeated, or as in the terms of the professor, he's got a puncher's chance, and it's John Wick. So, you know, he definitely has a puncher's chance. So here's my thing. You do have gaps between the buildings. Some of them can be made by jumping with a good running jump, depending on where you're at. Some of them, you know, you can't make that through. And the uneven elevation allows for really good, like, stealth tactics. Say, you know, John's firing at Batman. He leaps off a building down to a lower elevation. And then he's ghosted. Really bad news for John Wick there. Because I think if John Wick allows Batman to get the stealth advantage on a rooftop, it's really going to turn out bad for him. The only thing that he has going for him is there is not a much higher elevation for Batman to ambush him from. As long as John Wick is cautious, Batman's not going to move to a higher elevation or probably even find a higher elevation that will help him. Now, here's the thing. You brought up a scope. Yes, the scope's got illumination. It's got some type of night vision. You know, and Batman could use smoke pellets to throw at John Wick to distract him. But the night vision on a gun is most likely going to see right through that. And the smoke should not hinder its sight at all. But you do have batarangs. Batarangs will go through a scope lens pretty easily. So, and I think Batman's smart enough to do that. If he gains some type of stealth advantage up here, which could easily be done by him, he's got all the time in the world to start taking out John Wick's weapons. Now the thing is, he takes John Wick. He takes out John Wick's weapons. He probably can take out that scope. It does not make the gun ineffective. He just doesn't have a scope. It really, really limits his ability to have night vision. But John Wick is a master of almost like no scoping. Like, he is killer with just pointing, and then it's like he doesn't even need open sights. He's just that good. He's kind of like Longshot. You know, he's got that look, and, you know, it's always there. But anyways, so I clearly see that this fight turns into a melee fight more than any of the other battlegrounds, because Batman works on moving around a John Wick. Say he throws a batarang in that scope. He moves in, John Wick pulls a shotgun out. That's when that pneumatic mangler comes in. He mangles that shotgun. And I think that would be his main target, would be the shotgun, because I think that's going to do the more damage to his armor. And I don't think John Wick most likely would leave the shotgun. If the machine gun gets taken out, he uses a scope, he's going to drop it, which is actually an advantage for John if the battle stays close to it, because like I mentioned, John will pick up weapons along in a fight. So it's there. So this is where the meat and potatoes of this whole fight plays out. Gunfu versus Batman. So you have to look at the percentage of how well can Batman disarm John, who we know carries four handguns and a knife, without getting shot. Because I think once the longer that plays out for John Wick and he sees this armor, he's like, all right, look at the gaps between this armor. Because at that time, all Batman's doing is just punching him. He's trying not to get shot. And we have seen in the Nolan movies where Batman will point someone's own gun at them and make them shoot themselves in the foot, in the leg, in an arm. Could he do that to John Wick? That's up to us and the listeners to decide. So to me, this is where this fight comes down to. It's a lot of Batman snooping around, trying to disarm John Wick as much as he can so he can make his way in there for the melee fight. So the melee fight, Pneumatic Mangler disarms heavy weaponry. Then you have the whole disarm. Can Batman disarm John Wick and stop John Wick from pulling another gun? That's a big deal. Because if John Wick's lost a grip on a gun, his other hand's going for another one. That's if he's not even carrying two of them. If John Wick's got two handguns and he's playing with gun foo, well, Batman's got a lot on his plate. Because, you know, this guy's just as skilled in martial arts as Batman is. So this is where this fight comes down to. It's a matter of how well do you think Batman can disarm John Wick before John Wick puts a bullet in his chin or between them armor plates. And that's about what I've got.
You know, and I was just kind of thinking about this with, I guess you could say, theatrics as far as a skill. John could easily disappear with the smoke, too. So, as in, Batman could try to move through it. Either one of them could disappear. So, the smoke pellets could become... could backfire, but at the same point, I think I'm still conflicted on it because you have
here's the thing. You're saying, oh, John Wick gets hit with smoke pellets, he's just as well as hiding as Batman. Here is the big difference in this type of environment between John Wick and Batman. If you're standing in the shadows, most likely you're gonna see John Wick. He has nothing that hides his face. Batman, on the other hand, the only thing that shows on him is his chin, which is easily covered up just by bringing his cowl up with his hand.
That's true. That's a very
good point. That is a huge difference in their stealth game when it comes to a nighttime fight on the rooftops. The only light you've got is just the illumination of any light from buildings around you. And in the right corner, which Batman does, he's completely invisible. You know, if John Wick can't see him through that scope, he's never going to see him because that scope is his only chance of seeing Batman in the dark.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't really think about that.
That's what I'm saying. I think Batman can, you know, got a pretty good chance of getting up on John Wick, and then you've just got to decide who you think has the advantage here with disarming versus gun-fu. So... anything else before we wrap this episode up and move to the decision?
No, I think we kind of tackled everything that was there, and I think we hit all all the marks, and yeah, I think we covered it.
All right, well, we're gonna go ahead and take our final break here. We're gonna play your podcast from them Piece by Piece boys, Mac East and Jay West, over on the We Get Dub podcast. Talking everything anime. They've got a big anime theme tournament coming up. They got the Soundbite tournament coming up for their 2-year anniversary, which I am a part of. Apparently, I've got some well spoken words that they're going to use. And we're going to play you their promo. So, subscribe to some of my really good friends. And when we get back, me and Hawks are going to tally up our points to see who wins this crossover collision with John Wick and Batman.
Coming to you live from whatever podcast you're currently listening to, it's your boy Jay West with my co-host Mac East from the We Get Dub podcast.
What up, nerds? It's me, Mac East, and we got a badass anime podcast for you. We got hot sauce, we got hot takes, we got booze and banter.
And you can listen to us on all major platforms.
The We Get Dub podcast hits harder than a Goku gut punch.
And welcome back to the decision on Crossover Collision. Myself, JVD, and Hawk the Horribles. We're going to go over the points between Batman and John Wick given out in our battlegrounds. As a refresher, whoever we favored in the tell the tape gets 1 point, and that's individually between the both of us. Each battleground is worth 4 points. You can score all 4 points. You can score zero. They can be split up 3-1 for someone who is heavily favored, or they can be a split if both can maintain an equal advantage. At the end, Hawk will tally up his entire points. I will tally up my entire points. We will combine them, and whoever has the highest score wins this crossover collision. So, Hawk, let's talk the tail of the tape with strength, durability, speed, melee, and range, all five categories. Who had the overall advantage for you there?
For me, I think I favored John Wick.
I did too. I think the only place I really favored Batman at might have been in the durability part a little. And I went a tie in the melee. But yeah, with speed and range, or strength with Batman as well. But like speed and range, I think, and durability, I went with John Wick. So yeah, that is a point for John Wick.
I think my big one for Batman was strength. I think with the others, I definitely was more leaning towards John Wick.
Yeah. All right. So let's move to Salvageyard. Give me your overall quick process on why you got to your points before you give me how you brought your point total for each character.
So I think with the Salvageyard, I was kind of a little iffy on it. And then you kind of reminded me that what John Wick has and what he brings to the table. And then it's like, well, hold on. Let's kind of think about how John would actually do this. And I think with John, he has the ability to back up or set up a kill box to make someone come to him. And it's daytime. There is no nighttime. Batman can easily just... He can't easily just disappear. No, it's daytime. Batman still has his stealth, but I think it'd be a lot easier, especially with John having the range. And not to mention being at the salvage yard, there is a lot of stuff that John could easily pick up and use as a weapon. So I gave it to 3-1 to John Wick.
I favor John Wick, much like you did here. Like I had mentioned, you know, and you said, you know, John can set up a kill box. He can keep backing up, and Batman has to come to him. I mean, Batman can wait him out, and the rules are, well, Batman could wait him out till nighttime. That's not how this plays. It's infinite night daytime here. That's just how the battlegrounds work. We're not playing plot really into any of this like that. And that's what works, is because John can sit up anywhere and just watch for Batman, much like Batman can. But here's the thing. John has the ability to do it at a further distance. Batman can't see John Wick hiding at 500 feet away through a junkyard. On the other hand, John Wick can, with the scope from that carbine, that it's going to let him almost see the entire battleground if he wanted to in the right spot. So that's a huge advantage for John Wick. He can camp. He can snipe. All he's got to do is catch Batman at the right time, and pow, you know, if he can hit him in the chin, he's done. And like I said, we've seen the guards from the high table and how heavily armored there are. John Wick found out, you know, you can stagger these guys, get to their weak spot. You don't have to worry about a weak spot if you can snipe a guy and you see the open spot in his mask. So like I said, really favor John Wick heavily. And I think that he actually will dominate Batman at Salvage Yard in daytime. It's just the fact that Batman has to keep coming to him. You know, he has to find a way around. And it's just that the further John Wick you could say that Batman, the further John Wick gets away, it helps Batman gain stealth. But John Wick has an easier way of finding somebody, being stealthier than what Batman does in this situation. And I do. I think John Wick pretty much dominates this battleground. A cistern. We talked with the medieval water cistern. This was the battleground me and Evan the Great come up with that we absolutely hated in the beginning. We was like, man, that's terrible. and we went in a terrible battleground that was challenging, but it wound up becoming like one of our favorites by the end of season three. Give me your thoughts on the cistern and your points.
So with the cistern, it really kind of made it, it felt like it made it a little more even for me, but also at the same point, Batman has a really easy way to break line of sight. But it's a lot harder to get to John because he has to be able to get to him and not get shot in the face. And John has no qualms about pulling his punch because he's fighting for his life. And he will shoot someone in the face and not think twice about it. We watched him stab somebody with a pencil, which was a fantastic scene, especially when you hear them talk about him stabbing people with pencils and you see it in the second movie. It's a fantastic thing.
And which are heavily downplayed at that. You know, that's what they say. They're heavily downplayed.
Like, stabbed the guy with a pencil. And just had no qualms about it. He just kept on trucking, kept on moving. He spent the entire movie trying to fight for his life. He wouldn't think twice about shooting Batman like everybody else. Now, like, the more I sat and thought about it, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of places that Batman can try to hide. So I went with a draw. Like, it kind of felt like it could go either way. John has the range advantage, but it's a lot darker, and Batman could get the jump on him, and it could go back to the hand-to-hand fight, which, for me, I do favor more with John, but having the resistance of water, it makes it a lot harder, considering it's a lot harder to use jiu-jitsu in water, especially when you can't use your ground game, because then they could just easily drown you. So that kind of takes away from some of John's aspects. He's forced to rely more on the firearms and some of the hand-to-hand strikes, which I kind of feel more Batman can deflect. So he can take some of them. And it kind of, it just, the more I really thought about it, the more I just felt it kind of went to a draw.
So there were things I thought about after we moved on from this battleground that I thought were kind of important for that battleground. So yeah, you broke down a lot of the stuff that I agree with. John Wick has a heavy ranged advantage. Batman has a good stealth advantage in this, but both are extremely hindered and slowed down by water. In the end, that favors John Wick, because that means Batman has to get at a good distance so his gadgets are effective at a short range. So he has to worry about moving in on John Wick, and John Wick can just wade through the water and find Batman. But here's the thing. John Wick always moves forward. He's like a freaking, he's almost like the Juggernaut. He's an unstoppable force. And he just keeps moving forward. I mean, think about these movies. Like, he fights people. Okay, let's look at the opening of 2. Like, he fights all these people, man. He's in a demolition derby. And he just keeps moving on. And even when he's searching for somebody, he just keeps moving. So that kind of plays into Batman's favor. So you have that option of John can get him at stealth. Batman can hide well, because here's the thing. You know, Batman can just sit on the roof of this place with his grappling line. Grappling line, boom, hits the roof, and he can literally sit on one of these pillars. That kind of helps John Wick, because if the night vision, sure, he can see Batman moving, but if Batman is still in the dark, or there's a lot of shadows and whatnot. Yeah, remember, he can't see Batman's heat or anything. So, I mean, but there's the old saying in Vietnam that, you know, a lot of people think we lost Vietnam because no one looked up. And, you know, you had the Viet Cong in the trees. You know, Batman has a perfect opportunity to do something like that. And if you think about it, that's how Batman fights. It's an ambush from above. I mentioned this in the rooftops. So, and then it comes down to the melee fight, which is, you know, both of them are very restrained by the water. So much like you, I gave it a tie. Like, this could go either way very easily. Like, it doesn't favor either one of them, but it also doesn't really give disadvantages to help either of them either. So they kind of, you know, balance each other out. So much like you, I gave it a draw here. So let's talk the rooftop, our final battleground. This was in the dark. Hawk, walk me through your process.
So as soon as you kind of rolled, it's a rooftop, and it's nighttime, instantly, Batman's wheelhouse. That is his bread and butter. He fights on top of buildings in the dark. Every night, that's what he does. He is accustomed to it. He knows the ins and outs of these rooftops. He knows how they operate, you know, what sounds or what. You know, he's accustomed to this. This is where he fights. There's been a numerous times of he's beat people up and not throwing someone off a building. Or if he does throw them off, he attaches a grapnel line to them to leave them hanging on the side of the building. So my first thought was, okay, John's an assassin, you know, how do you think he would play this? You know, what would he do? And then it just kind of kept coming back to John has the range. John has an advantage. John has, he knows a vast superiority or number of judo throws that he could use, and you know, with the right foot leverage, he could easily, you know, if set up right, he could throw Batman off the building. However, with Batman's cape, which he can use to glide, and the grapnel gun, he could come back up. And John, you just don't expect to someone to come back up the building after you just threw them off. So which gives him an advantage, and Batman wouldn't just come right back up and just hit him from behind. No, he would catch him from above. So he would find a way back up higher and catch John at a point he did not see coming. And it's one of those, like, I think John has a puncher's chance with his weaponry. But at the same point, this is where Batman works. I went Batman 3-1.
To make this short and sweet, it is Batman's wheelhouse. It plays into all of Batman's gadgets, his skills, his combat maneuvers, everything. To me, the only reason I gave John Wick 1 point was because of gunfu. Because Batman gets in people's faces, and John Wick is a guy you should think twice about getting his face in. And that is the only reason I went 3-1. Because John Wick's puncher's chance is oddly gunfu. So, we're going to tally up our points between the tail of the tape and the three battlegrounds. Hawk, what did you have for Batman?
I have 6 for Batman.
For a total of 11. Now, I had 5 for Batman. I have 8 for John Wick, which should tell us something right off the gate. What did you have for John Wick?
I have 7 for John Wick.
For a total of 15, making him the winner of this crossover collision. A final score of 15 to 11.
People keep asking if I'm back, and I haven't really had an answer. But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
This is why we used to do battlegrounds, and we talked about them randomly, because Batman straight up in the daytime is at a huge disadvantage based on a battleground.
You know, it's funny because you say that, and it reminds me of the Batman-Wolverine fight.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? Yeah, that's how long ago that was.
That was the first tournament.
Yes, randomly rolled 32-man tournament. Batman fought Wolverine in the opening round. Completely random pool tournament. Great time. Go back, check that episode. But we're going long form here, so let's go ahead and wrap this episode up. I'm JVD. You can follow me on Twitter at VillainsDemand.
And I am Hawk the Horrible. You can find me at Hawk the Horrible on Twitter.
If you like the Villains of Man, just search us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can find us there. If you like our music, check out Tabletop Audio. They got music for all your podcasting and nerdy needs. Support them on Patreon for $3 a month. I'm sure they'd really appreciate it. If you like this podcast, please share, retweet it, and rate it wherever you can. We'd really appreciate a 5-star. But if you want to give us a lower star and tell us what you don't like about us, hey, that's fine too. But in the end, guys, support your favorite podcast, support your local comic book shops, stop pirating freaking movies, and go out to the theaters and keep reading comics, guys.